Business with Krish. Now, before we get into today's episode, I want to read you a comment I got on my YouTube. I believe it was yesterday. It was a funny comment. Says, "Hey, loving the content. I've got to admit, though, you either slowed down the playback speed or this is the most professional drunk tutorial I've ever watched." Haha. Now, I laughed with a kind of a full belly laugh, right, when I read that, because, look, let me address the first part. Oh, sorry, the second part. I haven't been drunk since 2012. Thank God. So it's definitely not that, right? Truth is, I've just lived in the South for so long. It happens. Sometimes I have a New York accent, a British accent, Indian accent, whatever, right? But would you rather, or rather, me speed it up like
and
this?
Obviously, I speak to in response to that. At the same time, I try to provide an honest take on the...
Or, you know, would you like me to slow it way down like this guy?
Love to put rhyme to the reason. We're good storytellers. That's what a good storyteller does, puts rhyme to the reason. I like the poetry down here. I like the sense of time. I like how 60 minutes feels like an hour. We're in a rush for
that. All right. Look, the truth is, my accent and the way I speak and all the ums is, one, I'm not a professional narrator, storyteller, whatever. And I believe my accent, at least, has landed somewhere in the middle. So it's a combination of the Southern twang plus maybe some British influence plus, you know, again, the chameleon stuff. All right. So on this show, on this episode, I would like to dig into moments that have shaped our lives, our culture, and sometimes our very sense of safety. Most recently, right, the world has been shaken by the very public assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I've talked about it a lot. I'm going to continue to talk about it. He won't be forgotten, right? Other generations, maybe, you know, they'd say that moments for them was JFK's assassination or MLK, or maybe when we landed on the moon. Now, to me, that's still up for personal for debate, right? Today's episode, it's heavy. It's personal, and it sometimes still gives me chills to talk about it. So to set the stage, imagine me young, right? Hard to believe. It was 2001. I was a broke college kid. I was driving to Georgia State University in my beat-up Volvo. Some of you may still remember that one. Listening to my favorite radio show. It was the Burt Show, and shout out to Burt, because I know he's, I heard he's retiring after 25 years on the air. What an amazing dude. But anyway, listen, look, I remember sitting in my car driving on I-85, the worst highway on the planet, and Burt's voice is kind of like cracking, and he's talking mid-sentence. He says, "We have reports that a plane has hit one of the Twin Towers in New York City," or something like that, right? Not verbatim. And at first, you know, like so many others, I thought it was kind of like a freak accident. Didn't think anything of it. I drove to campus. The one TV in the student union, I remember kind of gravitating towards it. A bunch of students standing there, some crying, some praying. But then we saw that second plane hit, and that was kind of terrifying, right? To watch that, to see that. And that's that moment for me, of at least my generation. Fast forward to 24 years later, there's still not a whole lot of truth and information about it. I remember the Biden administration released some a couple of years ago. But recently, both Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro are kind of gravitating towards doing more content around it. They're prodding for the truth, right? Now, some of you watching or listening might roll your eyes or roll your ears. I don't know what you do. And say, "Hey, here goes Krish on this like conspiracy theories and what have you." But the thing is, Tucker Carlson, for at least, he's a conservative. And if you watch the docuseries, he actually calls out some people trying to push for the truth, even the uncomfortable truth. So let's take a minute, 30 seconds, to watch a clip of his trailer. It released, I think, September 23rd or so. But check it out, guys.
"Ownership in this government is, I was born here. This is my government. I'm an owner of this government. You can't look at me and say, you don't have a right to know. F*** you. Yes, I do. And I think if you had a couple hundred million people making that case and saying, you know, like, I want to know now. To me, 9/11 happened like yesterday. It was 24 years ago. I knew someone on one of the planes. I immediately went to the Middle East after 9/11. Completely changed my life, changed the country. So the idea that, you know, you'd want to reassess that 24 years on, I didn't really have that much interest in reassessing it. I was kind of happy with the conclusions that I had. These 19 random Muslims attacked America because they hated our freedoms. And we just wound up with the TSA and the Patriot Act. But those are basically well-intentioned. And that was most people's conclusion after 9/11. And I didn't have a ton of interest, again, in reaching other conclusions because it's just too dark.
Gotta love some Tucker Carlson, right? It's good, guys. Really good. I literally binge-watched it last night, all five episodes. Like, also, Ben Shapiro and The Daily Wire are going deep, too, and releasing a series called, or I think it's just one thing, one video movie, USS Cole and Al-Qaeda's Strike Before 9/11. It's on Daily Wire Plus, and I think it releases October 10th. They're all connecting dots, right? Showing us the lead up, the warning signs, the failures. If you care about history repeating itself, you should probably pay attention. Anyway, for me, my connection wasn't through documentaries or 9/11 files. It was a simple routine. Let me take a step back. So on most evenings, right, after class, I would head over to the Starbucks near my apartment where I lived, and I would get my Earl Grey tea. And if you guys didn't know, it's literally the cheapest thing on the menu. It's not $7, but it's perfect for a broke college kid, right? Some days my girlfriend at the time would come and hang out with me. I'd pick the same patio table. I'd study. I'd smoke cigarettes. Another story for another day. At least 4 or 5 days a week, I'd be doing this, right? Same drink, same table. They're also the same people at the other tables. And after a while, you start recognizing them. There were some new additions for several weeks, right? The same group of young men sitting outside, chain smoking. Oftentimes, they'd nod at me or, you know, make eye contact, smile. And on occasion, they would bum a smoke or a lighter for me as well, right? Honestly, at the time, I didn't think twice about any of it. But a few weeks later, I was in line at Starbucks, right? This was a decade or two before, like, the ability to drive through a Starbucks or pre-order. It was a different time, like I said, right? I'm aging myself. Anyway, the barista, who knew me by name because I was pretty much a regular, she kind of pulled me aside at the counter. And, you know, I'll never forget her face. It was a type of look that, you know, you could tell she was wrestling with something and had to find a connection of someone to talk to about. Anyway, she says to me, hey, you remember those guys that used to sit out there? And she kind of like pointed outside to the patio through the window to help me, I guess, make a connection. I was like, I don't know what she was talking about. But she goes, look, they were training at the airport down the street. Still zero connection, had no idea, no clue what she was on about. She's like, look, one of those guys, do you recognize this guy, right? She hands me this newspaper. I think it was the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It showed, like, all the hijackers. And she kind of pointed to the first one, or I don't know the placement. But I instantly recognized this guy, right? His name, according to the newspaper, was Mohammed Atta. He was a ringleader of the hijackers. And I couldn't place the other two guys that she was referencing that used to sit out there, but the three people that were training at the flight school were those guys. And they used to just sit there speaking in their language, smiling, having a good old time. And I kind of froze, right? I didn't know how to react. My stomach dropped. I realized that I had been sitting a few feet away from the men and the man who masterminded September 11th. Evil wasn't across the world. It wasn't just on TV. It had been sitting right next to me, sipping coffee, nodding like a neighbor. And that moment has never left me. It reminds me, every September 11th, I'm reminded, right, of that as well. It's not just a national tragedy. It's personal for every American that that was alive that went through that day, those weeks after. I had a friend in college, right, who had interned for a company that summer, and their headquarters was located in Tower One. They lost 100% of all their employees that day. I remember her walking into class that, like, a few weeks later, whatever, and kind of still, like, hollow-eyed, right, carrying a different weight on her heart. You know, Pete Davidson, love some of his comedies. Sometimes it's not that great, but his father was a firefighter, one of the first on the scene before, I believe, Tower One came down. You feel that same thread of connection, right, when he's talking about it. We all know someone, and everyone carries something. Scripture tells us in John 10:10, the thief only comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's exactly what 9/11 was, right? The work of thieves, of men who came to steal life, to kill hope, and to destroy. Now, Christ reminds us that evil never has the last word. Life, abundant life, is always greater than destruction. Sitting near those men those evenings at Starbucks, right, kind of showed me something haunting. Evil can look ordinary. It can smile, it can nod, even drink coffee. But the Bible reminds us that we are not called to fear it. We are called to recognize it, resist it, and cling to the one who overcomes it. And that's our Lord and Savior. Now, 9/11, right, completely and forever changed the world. But for me, it also revealed how close evil can sit to you. It could be completely unnoticed, and it's a sobering thought. And yet, we're not left in despair. We are reminded in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's the call, right? To live in truth, to cling to faith, and to never forget. Guys, thanks for listening to this with Krish. I had to change out the outro because the audio was terrible. Now, if today's episode resonated, share it with someone who remembers exactly where they were that morning. Don't forget, right? Subscribe on Spotify and YouTube. Drop a comment. Just don't talk about my accent. And let's keep the conversation alive. Love you guys.